I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Human source who provided information about then Vice President Biden being involved in a criminal bribery scheme is a trusted, highly credible informant who has been used by the FBI for over 10 years and has been paid over six figures. These are facts and no amount of spin and frankly lies from the White House or congressional Democrats can change this information. At the briefing, the FBI again refused to hand over the unclassified record to the custody of the House Oversight Committee, and we will now initiate contempt of Congress hearings this Thursday.
So there you have it. Yesterday, after meeting with the FBI Director Wray, or at least a representative of his, Congressman Comer, chair of the House Oversight Committee, and along with Congressman Raskin, serving for the Democrats, got to see the Form 1023, where a confidential source, a human source, claimed that he knew that Joe Biden took $5 million for a transaction in trade for a favor for a foreign national, which would be treasonous if accurate. Comer wanted the whole document opened up for everyone to see. It's unclassified. It is not classified material. I can't stress that enough. This is not classified. Now, tomorrow, President Biden might decide it's classified, you can't release it. But right now, it can be shown to any member of Congress. But all they want to do is you can go into the SCIF, the secure room, look at it. You make some notes only on basic information, not details of it, and then come back out. You can't take copies or anything else. So apparently only Congressman Comer and Congressman Raskin representing the Democrats got to see it. And Comer says every member of the House Oversight Ways Committee could see, should see this document. And since they're not doing it, he says we're ready to proceed Thursday. Contempt charges against FBI Director Christopher Wray. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, June 6, 2023. During the noon hour, we are doing a live Rumble. You can join us by simply going to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA, or enter in News Talk STL. We're on both platforms. Glad to have you. Whether you're watching live or pull it up later and watch it and share it with others. Do share, please. Let others know about it. You are our biggest source of publicity and spreading the word, because nothing does better than a testimonial from someone you trust. I appreciate it. Thank you. Now, back to this issue. Keep in mind, this Form 1023 goes all the way back to 2020 when Joe Biden was vice president. That's when it was filed originally by this confidential source. As you heard Comer say, this is a trusted source, has been for some time, has been paid for a period of over 10 years, various amounts of money for information the source was providing. And they did really, apparently, from what we're seeing so far, nothing. Nothing. Comer is stressing the point that we all know, and that is public trust in the FBI is out the window.
Americans have lost trust in the FBI's ability to enforce the law impartially and demand answers, transparency, and accountability. The investigation is not dead. This is only the beginning. It appears this investigation is part of an ongoing investigation, which I assume is in Delaware. The Oversight Committee will follow the facts and be transparent to the American people with our findings.
Going to be transparent to the American people as he finds it. Now, I will remind you, you heard similar comments from Congressman Adam Schiff of California when he was doing the Trump-Russian collusion story. But he's also coming out lying repeatedly to the American public. Oh, we got something big. We got something really, really big. And every member that went in behind closed doors would come out, well, I can't discuss details, but I'll tell you, it's really big. It's going to be damning. It's going to be destroying Donald Trump. And then when the transcripts of all those closed door meetings were released, no one has anything to say. And Schiff never produced a witness which he said he had. He never produced documents which he said he had. Senator Grassley of Iowa has also seen this Form 1023. I'm not sure how he saw it, but I don't think it was with full FBI clearance, because he did not go into the SCIF room, the secure compartmentized room, to view it yesterday. He'd stated previously, last week actually, that he had already seen it. So now Congressman Comer has seen it. And again, I remind you, this is based on information given back in July 30, 2020. And this is where we are at this point, this late.
The claims made in the document are consistent with what we found and disclosed to you all in Romania. It suggests a pattern of bribery where payments would be made through shell accounts and multiple banks. There's a term for that. It's called money laundering. That, again, is what the majority of the suspicious activity reports also said. So we feel that this accusation is consistent with a pattern that we're seeing, frankly, in other countries.
Involving other countries and what's listed on that form. And again, this is back to 2020. How fast, riddle me this, how fast did it take the FBI and the DOJ and the Attorney General to go after everyone they had linked to January 6th? Even if they just flew into D.C. on that date. How fast did they take to investigate that? Boom! Really quick, right? This, since 2020, radioactive, stay away. Now to another subject, and that is how American companies are allowing themselves to be destroyed.
The stunning collapse of Target market cap is almost unprecedented for its own stock in 20 years. How this happened is being scrutinized by lots of other boards right now. And it's a discussion that's going on every day with institutional investors. On one hand, companies want to show their support of diversity and all the mandates that society is discussing openly. On the other hand, the job of a business, particularly from the perspective of an investor, and those that are retired, for example, that own the S&P 500 or own Target stock, are concerned that maybe they're losing their way in terms of what the prime objective is. Your customers, your employees, and yeah, your shareholders.
Yeah, your shareholders. That's Kevin O'Leary. You know him from the Shark Tank. He's also the chair of O'Leary Ventures, appearing on Jesse Waters on Fox News last night, talking about what happened with Target. As he said, it's shocking because they came out with their Tuckett bathing suits and pushing pride in the face of children going through the children's and toddlers area. They have suffered nearly a $15 billion loss in market cap. $15 billion. And you know, now the word is coming out that their diversity and inclusion group had looked at, you know, we need to come out and argue for defunding the U.S. military. Defunding the U.S. military? Oh, and also, because it's such a white supremacy display, Mount Rushmore should be blown to bits. Kevin O'Leary.
Diversity officers are new to boards, and they sound like a great idea. But even if you have committees for charities, and many corporations provide support for the Red Cross and other charities, every time you get into a mandate like that, it's scrutinized all the way up to the CEO. When you're shifting and allocating dollars to different charities, the CEO generally knows about it. This has not been happening with the diversity officers, and they're going on their own. They think they have a mandate, and they do, and they're given a budget, and they go to work. Now, obviously, the CEO of Target, I'm going to guess, I'm speculating when I say this, did not know that they were funding the destruction.
The destruction of Mount Rushmore. That's what they've been doing. With Target money, things you buy to find a way to destroy Mount Rushmore, and defund our military, and of course push transgenderism right into the face of your children simply when you walk through the stores. Again, Target losing nearly $15 billion. Their market value has gone from $60.24 billion to $45 billion. That is a big chunk. Back in 1957, Mike Wallace did an interview with the founder of Planned Parenthood, and there's some revelations and some understanding, as you know, what has happened with Planned Parenthood since that. And I want you to hear, and we switch gears to Margaret Sanger of Planned Parenthood, 1957.
You believe in sin? When I say believe, I don't mean to believe in committing sin. Do you believe there is such a thing as sin?
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things, just mocked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin.
That is the part of the interview. I'm going to let you hear more of it and some of that again in a moment. But that's Margaret Sanger in an interview with Mike Wallace, 1957, talking about sin. My next guest coming up in the next segment, Avita Duffy, who writes for The Federalist, says, that clip reminds us that Planned Parenthood victimizes the vulnerable, and it also shows the depravity of the founder of the Planned Parenthood founder. This woman, Margaret Sanger, when she was going around pushing abortion, 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 she was targeting the black community because in her views, the black community had a lot of undesirables. And the best way to do that is to eliminate them before they're born. Get rid of the weeds, as she referred to it one time. Strictly racist and at the same time, basically genocide against the black populace if she had had her way, all the way. And when they would go to talk to pastors in black churches, and of course they would be preaching and talking about sin, and the fact that God says you should not bear a child out of wedlock. Well, a lot of them were happening. And so therefore, what was the option? Well, at that time, back alley abortions, coat hanger, all kinds of things, which often led to not only death of the unborn, but the mother, or severe deformities of the baby if it were born, and or long-term lasting damage to the mother, maybe never to have children again. So she thought, you know, if we have Planned Parenthood put together, we can bring women in and we can surgically, with doctors, basically kill the baby, and it's all done. And at the same time, we will eliminate these weeds and these people that are undesirable, that they don't match up to her standards. This Margaret Sanger was a female version of Adolf Hitler, only the target was not Jews, it was in this case blacks. And she got that message through the black churches spread that go to Planned Parenthood. And unfortunately, many of the black pastors did not see the end result of what really was at stake here. When you listen to her again, as she talks about sin and what she thinks of sin, keep in mind, it's not just a discussion about sin. It's your understanding of the value of life. And I agree that this interview does show a depraved mind that has no issue whatsoever with destroying a life if it makes their life and society's life better.
You believe in sin? When I say believe, I don't mean to believe in committing sin. Do you believe there is such a thing as sin?
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things, just mocked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin that people can commit.
But sin in the ordinary sense that we regard it, do you believe or do you not believe?
Well, what would they be?
Do you believe that infidelity is a sin?
Well, I'm not going to specify what I think is sin. I've stated what I think is the worst sin.
Yes, sin. But then you asked me to say what, and I said what, you refuse to answer me?
Yes, I don't know about infidelity. It has so many personalities to it, and what person's own belief is. I couldn't generalize any of those things.
Couldn't generalize anything reference fidelity. Well, again, a lot of the children being born when she was pushing Planned Parenthood were born out of wedlock, and they were, for the most part, born in minority communities or poor. Not necessarily black, could have been Asian, could have been Mexican descent, it could have been American basic Caucasian, if you want to use that term at this point. But her basic statement was, delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things are just marked when they're born, and giving birth to one of them is the greatest sin you can commit. Her belief is basically, if you're poor, and that encompasses all races and religions, mentally or physically disabled, you're born without an arm, that's you're not suitable. Non-white, you're certainly not seminal, I should say, valuable to the society, or you had a criminal history, none of you folks should have children. Right now, the latest estimation from Town Hall is that 86% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are located in or near African-American and Latino neighborhoods. Another study finding black women in New York have more abortions than live births. And they tell you it's to better society, but they don't really say that. But it's also genocide against the black community. Why are the black leaders not standing up and shouting against it? My next guest, Avita Duffy with The Federalist, is going to examine this in more detail. We have a lot to cover still to come. You don't want to miss any of this hour. And don't forget our 6 o'clock report. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. When you want windows for your home or your business, I suggest you get premium quality windows, Renewal by Anderson. Give them a call, 1-877-WINDOWS, 1-877-WINDOWS, or visit the website and see everything, rbastl.com, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson has the nation's best warranty. Give them a call, 1-877-WINDOWS. 877-WINDOWS.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. As I told you, my guest is Avita Duffy. She's a writer, contributor to The Federalist. She also is the co-founder of Chicago, or rather a Thinker Chicago. That's a Chicago publication. Did I misidentify that, Avita? I'm sorry.
No, you're good. It's called the Chicago Thinker.
Okay, Chicago Thinker. I'm looking at the tweet symbol that is written the backwards. I was, before you joined us, playing the clips of Margaret Sanger in the 1957 interview of Mike Wallace. You wrote the piece about it that I was basing a lot of this discussion we're going to have in previous talking about Sanger's remarks, where you said that that clip in itself, in your view, reminds us that Planned Parenthood victimizes the vulnerable. Let's start there.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, if you played the clip for your listeners. It's clear that Margaret Sanger did not believe that certain people should have children. She was a product of this movement in the progressive era. And so what I basically argue in the piece is that legacy, that eugenics legacy from the turn of the century, has carried on to present day Planned Parenthood. She didn't think that disabled people should be able to have children. Well, 60 to 90% of people with Down syndrome are aborted in the United States. She also was an avid racist. 86% of Planned Parenthood clinics are located in or near Black and Latino neighborhoods. So this is a continuation of her very twisted social Darwinist ideas from the past.
And at that time, when she started Planned Parenthood, and I was pointing out the audience, she was using Black pastors to help spread the message that rather than, first of all, you can preach against children born out of wedlock, which was primarily happening to the knowledge of the public in the minority communities. Those of the upper crust would get them somewhere else so the baby could be born and no one would know. Or in this case, to get rid of it. And the pastors, the Black pastors, were basically pushing, without being aware of it, genocide of their race.
Then that's exactly what happened. And she, really interesting. She had it what she called the Negro Project. That was her actual name for it. And you're absolutely right. She partnered with Black pastors to infiltrate Black communities and push her family planning on them, family planning in quotes on them. And she did that for very racist reasons. And people will say, oh, she wasn't a racist. She might not have liked the disabled people, but she wasn't racist. And that completely flies in the face of what she based her entire movement off of. It was to partner with eugenicists to get rid of undesirable people in a way that didn't include forcible sterilizations, didn't include mass killings and genocide like you had in Nazi Germany at that time. So we can accomplish these goals in an easier way, in a way where people do it themselves. And that was the insidious background to her whole movement.
Well, it sounds so innocuous. Planned Parenthood, that's a good idea, planning your family. But within that is killing unborn.
Right. And Margaret Sanger, it's very interesting because the birth control movement is actually what she started. And mostly what she was doing was just pushing birth control on people, and Planned Parenthood eventually then turned into the largest abortion provider in the country. And Sanger claimed that her movement would stop people from actually having abortions. And they say, oh, well, she's actually against abortion. Margaret Sanger wasn't against abortion. She actually said multiple times that it would be better for mothers to abort their children than to have them and be born into, you know, poor families with too many children, families with parents who have a criminal history, parents who, you know, have disabilities, physical or mental. So she was. There's a lot of confusion around what she really believes, and I've done a lot of reading from what she actually wrote, and you can see that she was a racist. She was not against. She was not anti-abortion, and she was very much so a eugenicist.
You're listening to Vita Duffy, a contributor to The Federalist, and I'm looking at a piece where you're quoting her that Sanger said, and I'm quoting, "Women of the working class, especially wage workers, should not have more than two children at most."
Right, and that gets to really the heart of Sanger's whole ideology. It was about control, and this is what the abortion movement is all about today. They say we want women to have the choice. We want them to have the freedom. Margaret Sanger didn't found Planned Parenthood for freedom. She founded it to decide, to push and help people decide what lives are and aren't valuable. That was the entire purpose of the birth control movement and then eventually the abortion movement.
Well, she definitely, as you pointed out, and quoting her, that delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things that are marked when they're born, as she did in that interview of Mike Wallace, if they have a disease or something, the greatest sin would be for them to have children, so that anyone who is poor, mentally, physically disabled, non-white, or has a criminal history should never have children.
Yeah, and that and that's exactly what she believed in. She was a eugenicist. She was right. I mean, one of her favorite writers is actually somebody who was pre, and I'm forgetting his name, but she had very similar influences that Hitler did at the same time that he was bringing on his own ideas of social Darwinism and putting that in and implementing that in Germany in a much more gruesome and I think evil way than Margaret Sanger was. But the point is they had very similar influences. This was a time when social Darwinism was common thought, was well accepted. And that has become more implicit in our culture now, where we say, oh, we don't believe in discrimination, we don't believe in racism, we don't believe in ableism. But the truth is that, like I said, most Planned Parenthood clinics are in Black or Latino neighborhoods. You have Gwen Moore, who's a Wisconsin representative, saying that, you know, it'd be better if children are aborted than they grow up eating ramen noodles. It's still Democrats are deciding which lives are and aren't valuable based on things like poverty and based on physical or mental disabilities. And this is completely antithetical to everything that they claim to believe in. They say we're inclusive. We're the party of inclusion. Right, they're not. And they claim they are.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Hitler. I'd mentioned it before we came to you earlier that this was a female Hitler, only the target was primarily genocide of blacks or anyone poor or anyone that they thought was unworthy. They were weeds. But there's a turn going on with Planned Parenthood you also bring to the surface in this, that now they're looking that, you know, since we're being shut out in some Planned Parenthood states, I mean, where they've cracked down, that we're pushing now the transgender industry.
Yeah, and so now, because there's been a lot of states that have passed really good legislation limiting abortion or even outright banning it, Planned Parenthood has said, okay, how can we make up the cost? And they've made transgender surgeries a major, and also administering cross-sex hormones, a major part of their revenue. They're making millions of dollars a year off of this. There have been reports from people who have actually gone to Planned Parenthood for cross-sex hormones or surgery and said that they didn't even have to meet with a doctor in person to be given cross-sex hormones or to be recommended a transgender surgery. So this is not very well thought out, right?
It's not thought out at all. In fact, as you point out, that some of them are even saying they're basically handing out these puberty blockers like candy to any child or adult that want them. In your last 30 seconds, what do you think? Do you think this is going to have an impact if folks actually wake up, or those who are already awake know it and we're preaching to the choir?
I think that history is really important. And I think if you're listening to this and you have children or you have grandchildren and they don't know about Margaret Sanger, or you maybe don't know that much about it, read up on her, because there is a history to all of these leftist ideologies that seem very contrary, that seem contradictory. You can look back at her writings and you will see exactly what these quote inclusive people believe in, and it's not inclusive. It's harming and getting rid of undesirables.
Avita Duffy of The Federalist, I thank you very much for your time. It's an excellent article. Folks, you can read it yourself in The Federalist, Avita Duffy. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. Coming up, I've been telling you that if the elite want to prove to us that they're really concerned about humanity for illegals, open up their homes, Mayor Adams says, let's do that. Take a good look at your lawn. You're probably going to find some issues. That's when you contact Allen Outdoor Solutions. They have a solution for everything. Steve and his team are experts in irrigation, landscaping, outdoor lighting, lawn care, for home or business. Visit the Allen Outdoor Solutions website. You'll be amazed at the beauty and quality of work. Get a free quote, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, or call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The closer we bring the asylum seekers and the migrants to everyday New Yorkers, the easier it will be for them to transition into society.
Mayor Adams saying he's open to paying private homeowners to put up asylum seekers. Right now, it's just an idea that he's floating.
It's cheaper and it's a good investment for us to go to a family and assist them instead of placing people in large congregate settings or in these emergency hotels.
Now, there you have a full circle of New York City Mayor Adams proving again that, yes, we are going to be a sanctuary city, although when Governor Abbott was still sending busloads into his city, he was complaining that we can't handle them anymore, and then he was busing them north of New York City into other cities and said, well, they're not ours, they are now. And, of course, they want to claim we should have an open border. All the elites and the leftists and progressives say we should have an open border. Joe Biden won and campaigned because he got on the stage and they asked him, what do you think about open borders? And he dared not say, no, we should have a secure nation because he's facing other contestants that were all about illegals coming in. They don't call them illegals. They call them migrants. We have in this nation a country built of immigrants who came here legally. We have and share their cultures, their food, sometimes their religion, their thoughts, everything. And that's good. We are the melting pot. But right now there are others waiting to come in by the proper channels and they can't get in because we've got so many illegals coming in. And now they have taken a step under the Biden administration to have them process south of the border so they're already given permission to be in the states at that point. They're basically given a slip there. They don't have to cross the border to get the slip and say, okay, you're here, come back in 2 years, we'll have a court date and discuss if you're really here for asylum, which is a legal and constitutionally approved reason to come to this country if you're escaping a land where you're afraid you're going to be killed or slaughtered. But once you step out of that land into a country that is not that country, technically you're free of that threat. So once they're leaving the Central Triangle, Honduras, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and they fear their lives there, once they leave there, they're basically free. They shouldn't have to come any farther north, but they do, don't they? And we have 150-plus nations represented among those coming across the border, including groups of Chinese military-age men coming by themselves. I've asked previously, could that be the initial wave, an invasion of China? Or could it be those, again, trying to just get out from under communist China? Or a combination? But I've also said repeatedly, the day that the left really want to prove to me that they have a sense of humanity and are concerned about the illegals, they will open up their homes. They will, in Hollywood, lower the gates and walkways over their moats, and let the people come onto their yards and camp on their yards, or even in their garage, they could put five or six families, and then have a better condition than what they left, or then even then into their bedrooms. Now New York City Mayor Adams saying, you know what, I think we're going to use private homes, but they're not going to drop them off in your home. They're going to ask you, and they're going to pay you to keep them. Now, I can see a lot of abuse coming if this ever moves forward. You heard part of a Fox 5 news report out of New York on that. I want to continue that report.
Each week, thousands of single adults and families arrive here on buses from border states. The mayor says finding housing for everyone has become increasingly difficult. He recruited faith leaders to open up churches, synagogues, and mosques. And now the mayor is considering taking things a step further by asking private homeowners to share their space. The mayor says any New Yorker willing to house migrants would be paid by the city.
Technically, short-term rentals of 30 days or less are illegal in New York City. So if this is going to be something less than 30 days, they would have to change the existing law.
New York City civil rights attorney Ken Belkin says the mayor could issue an executive order to temporarily change laws.
Given the state of the crisis with the influx of migrants into New York City, it's unprecedented, and I do think his emergency powers would allow him to make an executive order to do this.
Yeah, well, it's been unprecedented what we've been seeing at the border, and there's only one president to blame for that, and that would be Joe Biden and his Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and his mealy-mouthed Attorney General Merrick Garland, who won't enforce our law or our borders. And now, of course, when it's being dumped in New York City, and they say, we can't handle anymore, they're putting them up in a lot of hotels. There was one report that half of the hotels in New York City are occupied by illegals. Somebody's got to pay the tab. And then there are reports from inside the hotels that kids are running around with weapons. Crack cocaine is everywhere in the hallway. All this stuff is going on. They're just creating a festering, boiling mess that's going to blow up in their face. And somebody's going to be hurt in those hotels or elsewhere. And now they're going to offer citizens, say, by executive order, we will pay you money if you'll take them in. Well, how much are you going to pay? For how long? How many can, then how many will they try to crowd in? Say, well, if I can get another $150 a month, I'll take two more, or whatever I can come up with. This is where this is going to go. And they've already tried in New York City other options, as Fox News points out.
The mayor has proposed a number of shelter options since the start of this crisis, many ending in controversy. An earlier plan to house men in tents on City Island and then on Randall's Island was scrapped amid flooding concerns. Putting migrants in school gyms also fell flat with parents and students. It means the mayor has been forced to get creative, and he'll have to keep it up as each week new families keep coming.
This is not sustainable.
Well, the mayor says a shelter system is already stretched to its limits. I reached out to the New York Immigration Coalition to see what they think of housing asylum seekers in private homes here in New York City, and they told me they don't have a response yet since it's still just an idea.
Just an idea, but you know, that's the way they're born now. I have an idea. We just open the border and let everybody come in, which is what we've been doing. I'm looking here at the latest from out of New York City on the mayor and his office. He's appearing live right now, and they're looking at legislation to build more affordable housing. So they're looking at that in addition to if he's going to issue an executive order. And should I also mention, yeah, Larry, go ahead and mention it. New York City is also, while they're looking to find out how to come up with money to take care of all these illegals and pay home residents to open up their homes and bring them in and feed them. They're going to have to feed them and everything else that goes with it. New York City has another way to make some money, but it's not really going to make money. Some of the New York City vending machines have now been set up to offer free crack pipes. Crack pipes. You can't get any better than that.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Any day now, any day, Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. You'll get lobster, crab, fish. Napoli C opening any day. But if you're in the mood for pasta, Napoli 3 is right next door. It's open for lunch and on Sundays. You can often find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and any day now at Napoli C. Napoli C opening any day now.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think Disney and Ron have been in a combat zone for a number of months over what I thought was the right issue as it relates to our young kids and what they're being indoctrinated with. I thought he started off on the right foot on that issue. It is
100%. I'm sorry, sir. Do not boo. This is The View. We accept, we don't have to believe everything people say, but you cannot boo people here, please.
Oh, my God.
You cannot do it.
Oh, my God. Whoopi Goldberg and The View now have some ethics. You can't boo people. They've done that repeatedly. But she has a black man, Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, appearing on The View. And the reason he was there, we're going to examine in more detail in the next hour, which will be on our Rumble feed for you. But basically, when he's talking about that, I think DeSantis and the Disney thing, that Disney is trying to buy in all this transgender stuff and push in the face of the kids, it's a right thing that we fight back against it. Boo! 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 No, you can't do that. Not on The View. They do it all the time, and they love it. When it's somebody that, if believe me, if a Donald Trump, well, then Donald Trump's never going to be on that program anyway, but let's say Donald Trump were. Just, you know, let's just imagine. And they booed him when he first walked out. Do you think they would tell him, shh, no, we don't boo? Of course not. They'd be applauding it, I'm sure. But Senator Tim Scott actually decided to go on there, and primarily because one of the hosts, Sonny Hostin, a black woman, had said that Scott does not understand systemic racism in this country. And that he's an exception. He said, you can't define black people like that just because I, you know, I came from some of the worst, poorest roots possible, and I'm supposed to be an exception. You should give every child the possibility that wherever you are, you can do that. I'm not exceptional. That was his main point. We'll get into that, as I said, more in the second hour of our Rumble feed and, of course, on the other part of the program. But he's saying that's a dangerous, offensive, disgusting message to send our young people today. The only way to succeed is try by being the exception. And I don't care what your color, your religion, or your gender preference is, you should believe that statement. Nobody's preventing you from doing anything. I told you before, on various trips to different cities, I might pick up, in particular in Vegas, you get a lot of different Uber drivers from it may be from India, Pakistan, Nigeria, Ghana. I mean, they all are so proud to be here, glad to be here. And every one of them say, I'm thankful to be here. I wish I could get the rest of my family here. Here you can do what you want to do. You can make your own life. And many of them are of color, and they love this country. Well, as you certainly know, the Kansas City Chiefs won the last Super Bowl, and they finally get to meet the president. They get invited to the White House, and President Biden, of course, is there to greet them. And as usual, the president can't really do anything and talk about anyone else without injecting himself into the story.
Three of you had one of the same coaches that I had, great Tubby Raymond, who was he's a hell of a coach. I played freshman football at Delaware and ended up below it. I shouldn't say this, but you had to have a 2-0 to keep going. I had a 2.99. I mean, a 1.99. And my mother made me quit.
Very confusing. What was his score? 1.99? 1.99? What do you have to do to be a 1.999? And then he said a coach that coached me, he would have been 18, 19, 20, let's say 22 at that time. What is he now? 80 plus? So the 60 years ago. So we still have a coach training some of these guys that maybe, I don't know. I didn't have time to check it out. But the whole idea is Joe Biden is going to put himself into the center of any story. And if you think he's done with that part of the story, oh, no, 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 no. Wait a minute. He's got more to add to his story. Joe Biden talking again to the Chiefs as they gathered at the White House.
You had to have a 2-0 to keep going. I had a 2.99. I mean, a 1.99. My mother made me quit, but I went back out my junior year to play my senior year. And while Tubby was the assistant coach, I played defensive back. And after running in drills in that spring practice, he came over and he said, Biden, you know, he kind of coughed when he talked to you, I guess some of them remember this. You run faster backwards than anyone I've ever seen. Well, my political opposition thinks the same thing of me.
Dead drop, mic drop, no applause, no nothing. In fact, I was listening to those same bites on earlier today on the Vic Parcelli show, and they had kind of the same take on it that I was thinking about doing. So you could say I copied them. I might as well. You do know, and I should point out to you, that the host Vic Parcelli and his producer Ken Williams, they won the 2023 Missouri Broadcast Award for Large Market Air Talent of the Year over this last weekend. So glad to be a part of the team with those guys on board, Vic and Ken, or as they know him as Ken the Thunder Stealer, because just as Vic starts to make a point, Ken the Thunder Stealer would take it away from him. Anyway, congrats again to those guys, and I remind you as we break off this hour, remember our pledge, one nation under God.